Welcome in to another episode of We're Talking. Today we're talking softball, Raging Cajun softball with Mr. Bobby. Bobby, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing good, man. Had a busy afternoon, and now I get to finish off visiting with you, man.
Before we get into softball, talk a little bit about the center field club, because I know that's what you were working on this afternoon. So, and how people can get involved and what that does to support the program.
Well, it supplements the budget, and we really do well with the center field club, as we do with the golf tournament and the crawfish ball, and that's some of our fundraisers. And to be involved with the center field club, if you want to send me an email at B Neveux, that's BNEVEAUX 1420 at gmail.com, I'll be happy to send you the information. We also have a table set up at all our home games where you can get the information you need to join the center field club. So we'd love to, if you haven't already joined, we'd love to have you. We have
Absolutely.
different levels of participation, and for each level that you join, you get a you get certain things like a signed softball or a t-shirt or a polo shirt. It just depends on what level that you join at.
Yeah, I know with most of our sports, those clubs are very, very much important, especially more so maybe for the spring sports, because it seems like the end of the academic year. In the end of the budget year, I won't say they get harder hit harder than the other sports, but I think they're front and center with where they spend their money. So,
Our fundraising just, helps us to continue to compete at the level that we want to compete at.
absolutely. Let's go back. Not this past weekend yet, but 2 weekends ago, about 10 days. The Cajuns had a little bit of a rough time there in Norman, Oklahoma. Oklahoma opened up their new softball field, and it's gorgeous by all accounts and everything. But come Sunday, as Jimmy Buffett would say, come, well, actually, he says come Monday. But come Sunday, the Cajuns had a one of the biggest wins in program history, but probably not the biggest, I'll say. But what's your thought on the win against Oklahoma?
This is a huge win, especially, the kids had been struggling, the team had been struggling, and just that morning, right before we took on Oklahoma, we played Liberty that morning, and laid an egg there, didn't play very well, and lost to a team, Liberty, that we had beaten the day before, and for the girls to turn around and play the number one team in the country, Oklahoma, the way they did, was a monumental feat. And then, not only to play the way they did after losing to Liberty, but then giving up the 4-2 lead in the seventh inning. And then coming back in the top of the eighth and scoring three runs, that just a lot of grit there from the girls, and they just never quit, and kind of refused to lose that game when they realized that they were in a position to defeat the number one team in the country.
I was able to we followed it from Houston, spent a lot of time on our phones watching and listening to you guys call the game. So yes, to give up the lead is one thing, but to come back, to punch back, using fighters term, once they got hit, they didn't get knocked down. They were able to put them out. So exciting, no matter how you think about it.
Yeah, and offense, the offense put up 10 runs. I mean, 10 hits against or double digit hits. I don't remember
It
what
was
the
10.
total was against against Oklahoma, and Jordan Campbell set the tone early with a home run early in the game, and Chloe Riosetto was just a bulldog in the circle, and every time she gave up a hit or a base runner, she was able to work out of trouble, and she was a bulldog in the circle all day long. So put all those things together, and the defense played well. So you put all those things together, and you come up with a win over the number one team in the country, and you end their 71 game winning streak, which is, very exciting. And hopefully that win kind of propelled the Cajuns to be able to finish the season strong, the rest of the year strong with conference play coming up this weekend.
I know I told you we were only going to talk about a little bit about this, but it brings me back to some other points about the game. One would be, you mentioned the defense, Maddie's Hayden's catch out there. I mean,
And
that's.
that was top 10 ESPN. And then Kayla Falterman made a great play in right field too, when she went back to the wall and was fearless back there, made a catch right at the wall, which was huge. I think that was a third out of an inning, if I'm not mistaken. And those two plays, and then everybody else for the most part was solid in that game, making plays throughout the game. On the infield, Chloe was able to get a lot of fly ball outs and a lot of ground ball outs, and throw a lot of strikes and let her defense work behind her.
So defense was good. What I want to know is because watching it on my phone or listening to it, I wasn't able, and it was a couple days back. Oklahoma had three errors, and I know a lot of times Coach Glasgow likes to run. We've got lots of speeds on the base path. Was any of that because of our speed, the three errors?
Yeah, I think late in the game, it might have been the eighth inning when we went with the double steal, and they weren't able to handle the double steal, and the Cajuns kept putting the ball in play. We mentioned we had 10 hits. Now, coming into the game, I think that was Oklahoma's either 19th or 20th game of the season. They had committed four errors coming into the game, and they committed three against us. So the Cajuns were able to take advantage of a little bit of shaky play on defense by Oklahoma. And a lot of that was the pressure that the base running put on them. And also, when the Cajuns were not getting base hits, they were not striking out. They were putting the ball in play. And that also put a lot of pressure on the Oklahoma defense.
Three stolen bases by the Cajuns, Maya Davis, Maddie Hayden, Alexa Langlers, and then it looks like one put out base running. So I don't know if that was on an attempted steal or not by Oklahoma. Maybe you can remember that one for me.
I really don't remember, Craig. I'm sorry.
That's
I
fine.
don't have the box score right in front of me, so
No, I know. I kind of caught you off guard talking about it and everything, but. Lastly, not about the game, but about the atmosphere. Shows 4,450 people at that game. Had to have been, if there was actually, whether it was that many people or two-thirds of those people there, had to have been one of the biggest large or the biggest crowd, regular season crowds that the Cajuns have ever played in front of.
Yeah, I would think it's the largest ever, except regular season, like you said. Now, when you play in the World Series, obviously the crowds are larger because they've got a bigger seating capacity. So, but regular season, I would think that's the largest crowd that the Cajuns have probably ever played in front of.
Good
It was
atmosphere.
unbelievable. The atmosphere was unbelievable. I mean, the stadium, it's like Coach Glasgow mentioned in his press conference, it's like an amphitheater, man. And the field is kind of down below the stands, so it makes it even louder. And they seat 4,200, and they sell standing room only tickets. So on Saturday they had over 4,700 people in attendance, and then on Sunday I think they announced a little over 4,400. So that's a lot of people watching a softball game.
That is yes. That
And they're very vocal. They're very vocal. They're very knowledgeable about the game, and they don't have a problem making their feelings known.
really, that's unusual for softball fans to be vocal like
Yeah,
that.
and we had
Now,
a few people there too. Now, we had a really nice crowd there too, but so it was fun. It was nice. Made the trip home a lot more bearable than how we lost those two games that day.
absolutely, man. I'm so happy for all the young ladies there, Coach Glasgow, Coach Robichaud, all the coaches, Coach Shelley, and then for the program, huge, 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 huge win there that could have hopefully does propel them and could have let the season possibly spiral out of the control as well. So
yeah, no doubt. Those are the kind of wins that you know, try to get you back on the right track. And you know, and that was the first of 5 wins in a row. So hopefully the Cajuns are back on track and getting back where they want to be.
Well, this past weekend, the Cajuns went up to Arkansas, played 4 games, 2 doubleheaders Saturday and Sunday, which is a little unusual, but a good opportunity for them to get some softball in, get some more work in before this weekend's conference play starts. But at the same time, more importantly, it could have been something that could have been a letdown, I guess. And they made sure that they didn't get, especially in that first game, they made sure that there was no letdown from this Cajun team.
Yeah, Cody and I talked about that in the pregame on Saturday before the first game, you know, and that you got to go out. And, you know, on paper, that was 4 games the Cajuns was supposed to win, but you don't play the game on paper. We all know that. And coming off a win over Oklahoma, really didn't know how the team was going to respond. And so they did come out and they played 4 games where they were able to do a lot of good things and pick up 4 wins. And so now they're on a 5-game winning streak with McNeese coming to Lampson tomorrow night. So we got a 1-game homestand tomorrow night before the fourth weekend in a row on the road this weekend against South Al.
Well, you know, although 3 of the 4 games were won by more than 8 runs, it was 2 run rule games and then a 7-4 victory. And then the 13-4 victory actually went the 7 innings. But were the Cajuns, I mean, I know the answer, but for those listening, were the Cajuns able to use a lot of pitching, get some work in from the pitching staff?
Well, Sam pitched 2 complete games. Sam Landry got a couple of wins. And then Chloe and Lexi Delbray and Sam Ryan got some innings in on Saturday. And then in the second game, and then on Sunday, Chloe Riaceto got the start in game 1 against Stephen F. Austin. And she pitched 3 innings. And then what's the pitcher from Iowa? Her name escapes me.
I'm trying to pull it up, but I know
Big Country. I call
Denali.
It Big Country. Yeah, Denali Lecker. She comes in and pitches the final 4 innings and pitched really, really well. So that was a good sign for the Cajuns. And so the Cajuns played well in all phases of the game. Only made 3 errors in 4 games and probably should have just been 2. There was a play when Denali was pitching that everyone in the stadium except the umpires thought the ball went over the hitter's off of the hitter's foot, and Denali thought it was a foul ball. And then when she looked up and no one called a foul ball, she made a hurry throw to first base and threw it over the head of the first baseman there. And so but you know, all 3 phases of the game, hitting, defense, and pitching, you know, all showed up in those 4 games. And Cajuns had 7 hitters that hit 400 or better on the weekend. You know, we had 7 home runs, 8 doubles, a couple of triples. So the power game showed up last weekend. And a kid like Brooke Ellestad started all 4 games at third base with Vic out. Vic did not play last weekend as she was recovering from that minor injury that she had at Oklahoma. So Sophie Piscos got the start behind the plate in all 4 games. And Sissy Vasquez at short, Brooke Ellestad at third, and Brooke kind of had a breakout weekend. She had a couple of home runs, a couple of doubles, and a single, I believe. So got a chance for her to get herself turned around there because she had been struggling. And then the top of the lineup with Maya Davis and Maddie Hayden, those 2 kids just lived on base all weekend. And Sam Rowe had another great offensive weekend. She hit over 500. So all around a great weekend to get ready, not only for McNeese on tomorrow night, but also a big series in Mobile this weekend, a three-game series to open conference play against South Alabama.
How is Vic doing? I know I know all you have to do is watch Twitter a little bit, and even the Oklahoma fans were very concerned about her and asking how she was doing. So is she expected to play this weekend or even tomorrow night?
I think she's on the right track. And Coach Glasgow's press conference on Monday, he mentioned she's kind of day by day, and that it's a possibility that she could play against McNeese tomorrow night, or even a greater possibility that she could possibly be ready for this weekend. So hopefully she'll be ready to go.
That's wonderful news. To your point, we talked about it when we first did this kind of as a preview. Maddie Hayden had a little bit of a preseason sophomore slump there last year, but she seems to be hitting the ball well again. You mentioned that 395 on the season. You got to love to see that from someone that, that you expected to be that type of hitter.
Yeah, and she's, offensively and defensively, she's just been really, really good, and having an outstanding season. And what's making her so much more effective on the offensive side is that she's the short game and the power game. And when I say the power game, Maddie's able to hit the ball in the gaps and hit doubles and triples. And so she's been really good in both the short game and the power game this season. And she's hitting right around 400 all season long, and getting on base, setting the table along with Maya Davis at the top of the lineup. That's been huge for the Cajuns. And then in the Texas tournament, Sam Rowe had really been struggling, Craig. And Coach Glasgow, just one day, he just wanted to make sure she understood how much confidence he had in her, that he wasn't going to give up on her. So he throws her in the three hole. And man, since that time, she's really taken off. She's improved her batting average. I think she was around 230 at the Texas tournament, and now she's over 300, like around 320 or so. So
yep, 328.
Yeah, since Coach Glasgow's put her in that three hole, she's really just taken off offensively, and she's moved to first base. And with Lauren Allred, Coach Glasgow announced at the presser on Monday that Lauren was going to be out for the rest of the season and going to take a medical redshirt year. She's having some back issues. So that's a big loss, but Sam Rowe has moved over to first and has done an outstanding job.
Thanks for bringing us up to date on that. Maya Davis at 405, you got to love that. And to your point, Maddie Hayden leading the team with eight doubles. But, the thing that not surprises me, but if you look at it, Alexa Langlers is second on the team with six doubles, but, played a few less games, quite honestly, because of an injury early on. So it's good to see that as well.
Alexa's under 300 right now, but, that's a kid that's going to, she'll hit over 300 for the rest of the season. And she's, really one of the better hitters on the team, and she's got a lot of power. She's going to hit some more home runs and a lot of doubles, and that's going to help the Cajuns offense. Like you said, she missed a few games at the beginning of the season with that hand injury, so she's a little bit further behind, and she's starting to get in a groove.
Yeah, and a lot of times that hand injury is what sometimes it's a little bit psychological because of the sting of the bat. You know, when you're swinging, you're worried about that sting, and you're going to re-injure that hand. So understand completely how she is, and looking forward to her continuing to play better. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to mention Sissy Vasquez has been so solid and helped solidify that defense. And then she had four or five hits over the weekend also. So she's, coming around at the plate. The more at bats she gets, the better she gets.
You love to see all that too. I mean, there's so many weapons that are interchangeable there for the Cajuns. I mean, we know Sophie Piskos is not just the backup catcher, but also batting 271 and has five. He's a team with five home runs. That I know part of that is she does DH quite a bit too. So, but still, nice to see that.
It seems like Sophie hits a little better when she's in the lineup defensively than when she's DP. You know, I think she's it's a kid that wants to be on the field, and she's a little bit more into the game when she gets to play on the field defensively. So good for her. And Coach Glasgow's done a wonderful job of getting all those pieces involved in the game, the way he's handled left or right field with Jordan Campbell and Lainey Crady and Kayla Falterman all rotating out there. And so Coach Glasgow doing a great job with that roster and getting as many kids involved in the game as possible, whether it be offensively or defensively.
I think anybody with a competitive spirit wants to be on the field the whole time. You hear that, especially with Major League Baseball, only because they get interviewed a lot more than our girls or our guys probably do. But they talk about wanting to be in the lineup, because you're not, especially after you strike out or you do something. Now you're sitting there for not sitting, but you know, you're there for three innings. Something's going through your head for that whole time period, instead of being able to get out on the field and flushing it.
Right. It's a lot easier to turn the page when if you strike out the end of an inning and go right back out there on defense. And then, you know, like you said, you've got something else to think about, and you can take that out of your mind and not bring it with you out on the field, and not bring it with you back to your next at bat.
You know, you brought up Lainey Crady earlier, and I'm sorry I passed over her, because here is someone that you look at 282 batting average, and you kind of think, well, that's kind of low because of what's in front of her. But at the same time, has a 440 on base percentage, a 487 slug, 927 OPS. That's pretty dang good for, you know, anybody. It's great, as a matter of fact.
Well, Lainey's as patient a hitter as you're going to probably see in the college game. She's going to lead the team. You know, I think she leads the team in walks and with a lot less at bats than a lot of other players. So she's very patient at the plate. Her knowledge of the strike zone is through the roof. And you're never going to see Lainey Crady expand the strike zone and swing at bad pitches. You know, if you want Lainey Crady to swing, you better throw her a strike.
And to your point, 39 at bats, 11 walks, where Sam Rose, 67 at bats, 11 walks. So, Lexa Langler, 64 at bats, 8 walks. So yes, that I guess it goes back to the point we were making earlier about the interchangeable parts and so many weapons. So good to see. So let's talk about Magnese. What has changed, or has anything changed in Magnese since we've seen them?
Well, you know, Craig, anytime you play Magnese, it's going to be a very competitive game. They're 14 and 11. They've had some good losses. You know, they lost to Baylor 3-2, and they lost to LSU twice, 2-1. So, you know, they're going to be very competitive. You know, Shaylin Sanders is their, you know, she has a 2.55 ERA. And as a team, they hit 266. Corinne Pacho, she has 9 home runs, and she leads the team with 16 RBI. So those are a couple of the girls that you're going to be looking for tomorrow night. And anytime the Cajuns and the Magnese Cowgirls get together, it's usually a very competitive team. Both teams, a very competitive game. Both teams know each other very well. They've played each other twice in the fall, in a couple of fall games. So looking for another good one tomorrow night. Hopefully a good crowd will come out to see the Cajuns, you know, which played 15 games in a row on the road. So expecting a good crowd with baseball being out of town tomorrow night. I think Lampson's going to have a good crowd and come out and support these Raging Cajuns.
I hope so too. I hope so as well. They deserve every bit of it. That's why I was glad I was able to get you on before the game versus in between. Moving on though to South Alabama, because I think really, I mean, I know the team is not going to overlook Magnese, because to your point, Magnese was a few pitches away from in a regional there last year, quite honestly, that they could have won. So Magnese is a very, very comparable opponent. But the real play really starts Friday with South Alabama at in Mobile. So what do we know about South Alabama this year? I know looking at it, looks like they played some games in Clearwater. I'm not, so it, Cajuns have done that several times. And then they played in Tuscaloosa a couple times and actually took down Alabama 2-0. So what do we know about
Yep.
South Alabama?
Well, first going back to McNeese, Craig, they were eliminated in the regionals last year by Washington. And I don't know if you remember how they won that game, that second game on Sunday. They would have come into Lampson for super regionals instead of the Cajuns having to go to Washington for super regionals. So yeah,
Yes.
McNeese is very competitive, and they're gonna come out and they're gonna fight and they're gonna play hard. But South Alabama's having a great year. They're 14-8-1. They've got a 5-2 win over South Carolina. They've got a 2-0 win over Alabama, and they tied Arizona 1-1 in 11 innings. So because of travel, that game was stopped at the end of 11 innings. And South Alabama's what South Alabama always is. They pitch well and they play good defense. And they've got Olivia Lackey in the circle, and although she's a senior this year and she's never beat the Cajuns, she's a really good pitcher. She's 10-3 on the season with a 1.32 ERA, and she was the winning pitcher in those games against Alabama and South Carolina. She's got 100 strikeouts and 79.1 innings. So a power pitcher with a really, really good rise ball that she throws at three different levels. And the Cajuns have had some success in the past. And then offensively, I think if the Cajuns could keep Mackenzie Brasher off the base path, she's 15 of 15 in stolen bases. She's their table setter. And keep Gabby Stagner in the ballpark. She has six home runs and she leads the team with 22 RBIs. And those are their two top offensive producers. If the Cajuns can keep Brasher off the bases and keep Stagner in the ballpark and be as successful against Lackey as they've been the last 3 years, I think the Cajuns can have a really successful weekend over in Mobile.
That I think that Coach Robe used to talk about that a lot, keeping runners, especially when you're walking the leadoff batter or something like that, or letting them get on base by an error. And it seems like the next guy always comes up and hits a home run. And it's those are the ones that really kill you. The Cajuns this past weekend gave up some solo shots to Tulane, but didn't were never out of the game because they were only solo shots, I guess is my point.
Yeah. South Alabama, not a big power team, Craig. They've got 11 home runs on the year, and Stagner has six of those. So, like I said, if you can keep Stagner in the ballpark, that increases your chances a lot.
So, I knew something didn't look right here. I was looking at South Alabama's baseball's statistic, and not South Alabama. Those names weren't sounding familiar to me. I pulled up the wrong one. So, one of the things I notice is this is probably. Not because I am disinterested in softball, but because I've been making some trips with baseball as far as to Houston, going over to McNeese. I'm headed to Ruston. I'm headed to Jonesboro after that. But the one thing I find, I guess, very interesting in the softball right now is you got Texas State 20-6, Troy 20-8, Coastal Carolina 17-7. And this is going down, and then South Alabama. To your point, at 14-8-1, but has played some killer competition, and now you're seeing the Cajuns down at that second to the bottom spot. But we know at the same time, this is not your Cajun schedule that you jump out and get 20 something wins before conference play. This was designed to, if you're able to get some more of these games, you're hosting a regional. But if not, you're getting that regional feeling. So how, I guess my question is, instead of me babbling, is I think the league is better, but are you concerned that the league is that much better?
I think that at the top of the league is much better. I think, with the Cajuns, South Alabama, Texas State, James Madison, and Troy, I think are probably the best five teams in the conference. And then, some of, if you look at some of the records of the other teams, it's they haven't played the greatest competition, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay.
South Alice plays a lot of really good competition. Texas State has also, and and they're all probably top, those teams are top 40 RPI teams, as is McNeese. So this is a big week with McNeese and South Al as far as RPI games go. And Texas State again, down the road, the Cajuns got to go to Texas State twice this year. They got to go play a three games conference series, and then Texas State hosting the conference tournament. So they're going to be tough at, in their home park. They've got the Mullins kid, who's a senior, that's been pitching for them, and she leads them in innings pitch and wins, and just like Lackey does over at South Alabama. Those two kids have been in the league, all four of their years in college. So those teams are not going to be easy wins, and of course we got that crazy 81 game conference winning streak on the line this weekend and all through the season. So it's not going to be an easy task in conference this year, because the conference is getting better, especially in those top four or five teams.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, I guess kind of shoots to the front of your brain after you've kind of been able to dissect that you beat Oklahoma to end their 71 game or 70 game winning streak. You kind of go, oh, wait a second, we got something similar going there. That's that's a tough
That's
one.
one of the craziest streaks I've ever seen, ever heard of, and one day it's going to come to an end, but it doesn't certainly hadn't, doesn't have to be this weekend or the weekend after or the weekend
Exactly.
after. It doesn't even have to be this year.
I used to say that when we had the 24 game win streak or whatever it was, 28 against ULM in baseball. I just keep telling myself, I know it's going to end, but does it have to be this weekend?
That's right.
So, but you brought up the some of the other schools, but their winning, even if it's against lesser competition, helps us. In Coastal Carolina has a good record, but they've played five games away from Conway, so out of 24, so 19 home games, very similar to their baseball team, and like you said, not always some of the best competition there as far as just looking at it off the top of my head. So,
Well,
but.
Coach Glasgow knows what he's doing, and every year he sets up the non-conference schedule with outstanding competition, and the Cajuns got the number one strength of schedule in the country, and he does that by design. And not only does it help your team get ready for conference play, but it helps your team in the RPI situation. And I don't know exactly how that formula works, but I know when the teams that you beat win games, it helps you. And so Coach Glasgow knows exactly what he's doing, and he always has the Cajuns in the top 25 or 30 teams in the country at the end of the year when it comes to RPI.
Yeah, that's a whole different type of math and everything with all of that. And the Cajuns are in the top 25 of the RPI right now, even at a record of 14-12. So you got to like that. And hopefully the teams that we played continue to win and continue to help our schedule and vice, and hopefully the Cajuns continue to win to help our schedule. So these girls have really played so hard. I hate to call them girls, I'm sorry. These young ladies have played so hard. It was so nice to see some things happen and for good for them. All right. Any last words of wisdom or anything you'd like to say before we sign off or anything we miss?
No, I don't think we missed anything, Craig. And I don't have much to say except, if the Cajuns can just continue to get out there and fight and play with the grit they've had, even in the games they've lost, except for a couple, I think the Cajuns are going to be okay. And with conference play coming up, they always seem to be very comfortable in conference games, and it's going to be fun. the rest of the season. It's amazing to look at the schedule and after we play McNeese in the first game against South Alabama on Friday night, we'll be halfway through the season. And so hopefully a lot of those Cajun fans are going to make that trip to Mobile. The Friday night game, from what I understand, is sold out, and the Sunday and the Saturday and Sunday games are also close to being sold out, though. Still some tickets available for Saturday and Sunday. So I know South Alabama's excited about the Cajuns coming to town, and it's going to be a battle. And Cajuns are going to have to punch, and I know South Alabama's going to punch back. So looking forward for a good series this weekend.
Yeah, that trip is an easy trip for Cajun fans. Hope you get over there. And to your point, I was doing the numbers for baseball this week. Realized that we're a quarter of the way through the baseball season. Kind of scary, you know.
That goes way too fast, Craig.
Yes, it does. So after McNeese, the Cajuns are on the road for three at South Alabama, then back up to or up to Ruston to play Louisiana Tech before they're home. For a three-game series against Coastal Carolina, who we just mentioned, that was 17-7 or something like that on the season. So, some big games, some big series coming up, and then after that series, though, Bobby, you get to make the trip to beautiful Boone. I
And
see.
it looks like I'm going to make that trip this year for the first time. I've never made the trip to Boone, and I think I'm going to bite the bullet this year and make it to. So Hunter asked me today if I was making the trip, and I said I'll let you know tomorrow morning. And then in about 5 minutes after I got on with you, I told her that I had decided to make the trip. So yeah, and then looking forward to that Coastal Carolina series, not this weekend, but the next here at Lampson Park, and gonna feel funny not to have a pack a bag next Wednesday night.
Oh yeah, I bet you are looking forward to that. The App State trip, you're going at a good time, the end of March. So, and I believe the 28th. That Thursday, it's Easter weekend. I'm just realizing because it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday is the start of Major League Baseball as well.
And Yankees and Astros play on the 28th. I just don't know
Well,
what time. I got to check the time.
I don't know either, but I did look at that yesterday. So, go Yankees. I'll say that right now.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Go Reds.
Thank
I don't
you.
even know who the Reds play, but
I don't either.
I know it's not the Astros, so
I just
so
know I'm
go
not a
Reds.
fan of the Astros, so
All right.
I looked at it earlier. I'll look at it again later. All right, Bobby, thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Craig. Thanks for having me, and looking forward to doing it again soon.
Absolutely. For Mr. Bobby, I'm Craig Molosson. You've been listening to We're Talking. We've been talking softball, Raging Cajun softball. Thank you.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.